Good morning, Baywood. See, this ain't a 2020 good morning, like, good morning. This is 2021. Good morning, Baywood. I am super excited to be here. I'm a little more fired up than usual, so you're not going to get your normal, boring, monotone speaking from me. So I'm super excited for a couple reasons. One is that it's the first Sunday of the year, and I have the privilege and the honor to be able to be up here and speak to you today. And I was thinking about that earlier, and the last time I got to speak was outside. And while outside was cool, and we had some, you know, I think there's something to be said about having service outside, and we're in God's creation, and it's beautiful, and there was a lot of good stuff done out there. There's just something about being at this church, and there's something about being in this sanctuary that's special to me. And I know church ain't about the building, but it's about this building. And God has done a lot of stuff to me in this building. And I think 2020 taught me something, that we take this place for granted, right? You know, we just come. It's no big deal. We're going to have church, and that's not always the case. So thank you, Jesus, we're here today. Another reason I'm super fired up is because I know I have a pretty chaotic life. Not in a bad way all the time, but I just got a lot. It's pretty busy, a lot of anxiety, a lot of pressure, most of it self-induced, right? It's not usually anyone's fault but my own. But in saying that, I know that when, for whatever reason, I'm allowed to come up here and share a message with you guys, I know for right now, in this a little bit of time, this 20 to 25 minutes, that I'm exactly where God wants me to be, doing exactly what He wants me to do. And that is a very peaceful and joyful thing for me, right? That's something I don't have a lot in my life. Usually it's a struggle. Am I doing what I should, or should I have done it that way? But right now, it's game on, right? And if you don't have that spot in your life, if you don't know what that is, I strongly suggest you find it, because it's a wonderful thing for me. All that being said, today we're going to do stuff a little bit different. I'm going to pray, but while I pray to get this thing going, I'm going to give some space for you guys to pray. Now, I'm going to pray some words, and they're going to be mostly aimed at me. Now, that's a little selfish, right? But it's just the nature of the situation, right? Because what I'm going to pray is, I'm going to pray that today is not about Brian English, that it's about Jesus, and that it's not what Brian has to say, it's what Jesus has to say, right? And that I don't glorify myself, I don't make myself look good, that I glorify Him, right? And I'm going to pray this in a meaningful way. What I'm going to do is supplicate, and that's what we're going to learn about today. But I'm going to give you guys some space too, and I'd ask that whatever God puts on your heart, whether it's how I do or what words you need to hear, that you pray it, right? But this is only going to work if we all do it, right? So right here in front of God and everybody on Facebook and everything, can I get everyone's hands up? Who's going to participate? All right. He's watching, right? So you got to stand on that. So let's get this going. Dear Lord Jesus, You are an awesome God. You are an amazing God. You are an eternal God. You are a magnificent God. And Lord, I'm just a sinner. Lord, the psalmists say we are here today and we're gone tomorrow. Our life is nothing but a vapor, Lord. And the only reason I can even come to You today, the only reason a sinner like me can even approach You today and ask You anything, is because of what Jesus did on that cross, Lord. And I ask, as You look down on us today, You don't see us. You don't see our imperfections. You only see the blood of Jesus, Lord. And I ask that You only see what the blood of Jesus does for us, and that makes us Your children. And Lord, I'd ask as you listen to this prayer, as I come up here and I attempt to be Your vessel today, that You use my mouth and use it effectively, Lord, and make it about You and not about me, Lord. And give me the words to say, and give me words to say that are going to affect change in people's hearts, Lord. And Lord, I also want to give the audience a chance to pray today. And Lord, I'd ask You just use Your Spirit to move them to pray. You guys pray. Lord, I'd just like to lift up their prayers as well as mine. I'd ask that You answer them, and I'd ask that You just show up and show out today and make this all about You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Next slide. So what did we do right there? What did we do? That was a little something different. You know, what that's called is supplication. So supplication, one definition, an easy one, is the act of asking or begging in a humble way. Right? So We all pray, but there's different types of prayer, right? Now, Jesus wants to have a relationship with us. Now, is a relationship always this? No. No, we talk. We interact. That's relational prayer. But there is a time and a place for stuff that's a little more urgent, a little more desirable, right? A little more, I just say begging, right? And that's what supplication is. And sometimes we come into situations where we really need to get down and we really need to just yearn from our heart. We need to beg. We need to plead with God. I think a really good example of this concept is if you have kids, right? You have a relationship with your kids. You talk, you have fun, right? Sometimes you correct them. You got to chase them a little bit. But other times, you know, when your kid really wants something or really wants something to come his way, to go his way, he ain't just talking. He's begging, please, Dada, please, no, stop. He'll do anything, right? And it's very emotional. And that's what supplication is, you know? And so that's what we were doing. And hopefully that's what you guys did too, is that you were asking God, you know, to please use me in a way that he deems viable, in a way that you need to hear, right? And so how do we decide? How do we discern when is the time to have supplication? And I would say that a time that we should do that we often miss is a situation like this. So obviously, I need to be prayed up to come in here and do this, right? I need to be doing, I mean, it's not about me, it's about him, but I need to be taking steps to try to get myself in a position where he can use me, right? But I think what we often miss, and when I say we, I mostly mean me, is that there's a responsibility on that side of the fence, right? You guys aren't coming to church just for something to do. You're not here just to hang out. That might be part of it, but especially in here, you're here to hear the word of God. You're here to hear what God has to say to each and every one of you. There is some life-changing words that the Lord has for you. And so I would say that it is important that you guys ask. And what's cool about this, is this isn't just something that Brian English came up with today, right? This isn't my own invention. There was someone with much more respect and authority in the Bible who talks about this very concept. And his name is Paul. Next slide. Ephesians 6:18 says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Let's shoot back to last week for a second. Jake described very well the armor of God, right? And these are spiritual attributes that the Lord has commanded. You know, Paul was illustrating that we need to gird ourselves with and we need to protect ourselves with. Why do we need to protect ourselves? Because there is a very real active enemy out to get you right now. Right now. It ain't a matter of if, it's a matter of when. He is looking to attack you. And that's why we need this armor of God. We need these spiritual attributes of the Lord to get off these fiery darts, right? And so he goes, in the end of Ephesians, it talks about this armor of God, and it sounds magnificent. You think, oh, that's all I need. But then Paul's like, nope. And you also need prayer, right? And that's what he's talking about today. And so this part of the verse is a little bit confusing. Let's try to run through it a little bit. So you guys probably know this, but when Paul's speaking and he's inferring to himself, and he talks about the saints, he's talking about us as a body. But when he's talking about himself and praying, not only is he talking about himself, but he's also suggesting that we do these things as well. Paul likes to use himself as an example of how to act, so he ain't always preaching hard at us, right? It seems to work for him. So praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. So that's kind of a weird sentence. Why does he say praying always and prayer? Well, it's because we talked about earlier, there's two kinds of prayer. There's prayer, the conversational, relational prayer. We need to have that relationship. We need that dialogue with Jesus. You know, thank you, Jesus, for the green light. Sorry, Jesus, I just ran my mouth like that. Like that dialogue we should always have, right? But then he's talking about the supplication. That's what we just did. But here's where it gets tricky, right? Supplication in the Spirit. We need to be in the Spirit. We need to be connected with God, right? Being watchful to this end. So being watchful. So he switches it up right here. We need to be watchful. We need to be alert. We need to be looking out to this end. What does that mean? To this end means what I was just talking about. To this end, being prayerful and prayer and supplication in the Spirit, in yourself, but to this end, being watchful for the saints. So what he's saying is not only do you need to be doing this for yourself, but you need to be watchful to see when the saints, who's the saints? The body, right? All of us. So we need to be watchful for the saints as they come into situations so we can be in prayer and supplication for them. True supplication. And that's what you guys just did. You were in supplication for me because you were watchful. Because I'm in a situation where I need the word. I need it to be the Lord, not me. And so we got to be watchful in those situations. We got to look out. That's what Paul's saying. Next slide. And for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. So that's what Paul's saying. He's like, well, why do we need to do this, Paul? Well, we need to do it so him, I, or any of you who become in a position, end up in a situation where you need the words of God for others, for the saints, to edify, to build up, to illustrate. That's why you got to be in that supplication. That's why it's so important. Again, you guys are coming here to get fed. We all are coming here to get fed. We have to do some action. We have to take a little bit of responsibility. We have to plead and yearn with the Lord. Let him know how serious we are that we want to get fed. Because the Lord likes to answer prayers, especially prayers that are in his will. He likes to answer prayers to glorify him. Now, especially imagine if we're not only praying a prayer that can glorify him, but the prayer is going to get us fed and make us more like him. He's going to honor that, right? That's a glorious thing. That I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. What is this mystery? You're like, I don't know. It's a mystery, right? So I was thinking about this. To make known boldly the mystery of the gospel. The boldly part I understand, but this mystery is interesting. And I got to thinking, you know, sometimes I like to take for granted that I know a lot more about all this than I really do. But I don't understand the gospel. I don't know how it works, right? I don't know how it changes lives. I don't understand exactly what happened to Jesus on that cross. Neither does anyone else because they don't say it. We've got some theories, but it's a mystery, right? Nobody knows. I mean, somebody knows. Jesus knows, right? God knows, but none of us know. And I don't know how, whether a life-changing sinner's prayer right before you do something bad, will save you forever. And I don't know why in the Old Testament there's some things that hurt my heart. And I don't know why some of the spiritual gifts, you know, used to be real active in the Bible, but they're not today. And I don't know why some groups of people think other spiritual gifts are more important than others. I don't know all that. It's a mystery. I don't have all the facts. And I don't know everything about the Bible either. I can't put it all together, and I can't explain it all, and I can't make it all make sense. But there is one thing I do know. I do know that I used to be this way. And then Jesus changed my life to this way. And that's what I'm required. That's my responsibility to proclaim it. And how am I supposed to proclaim it? Boldly, right? And so he's saying we don't need to understand all the facts. We just need to understand how what he did for us. And that's what we need to say boldly because this ain't a soft-spoken thing. Jesus changed my life. He made me something new. And I need to boldly proclaim it. And boldly ain't like, I'm a Christian. It's, I'm a Christian. Thank you, Jesus. That's boldly. Now, does it mean I need to go around and just scream that from the rooftops? Probably wouldn't hurt. But I don't really think that's what it means. I don't think that you're required to do that. I don't think he's going to be mad at you. But if someone asks, that's when the requirement, that's when the responsibility comes in. Brian, what happened to you? Well, let me tell you. Jesus changed my life. You know, you can't, proof is in the results, right? Next slide. For which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. I like this, because what Paul's doing, and he's super good at this, is using himself as an illustration. He's basically kind of in a, without saying it way, letting you know who he really is, right? And I don't know if you guys like this word, and I don't know if you agree with it, but in my opinion, Paul was the most gangster apostle. I would say he was the most gangster man of God in the New Testament. Now, the argument could be made about the Old Testament, right? He's got some stiff competition in the Old Testament. But in the New Testament, he's got it. And why do I say gangster? Well, Paul pulled no punches, right? Paul would tell you exactly what I thought. Now, I'm not saying Paul was fearless because he wasn't, but fear never stopped him. He moved forward. The man persecuted Christians. Jesus ran up on him, and he did a 180, right? And the most gangster thing about Paul, the thing that truly makes him gangster, is whatever the boss said, whatever the boss said Paul would do, period. And who was his boss? Who was the Don? Jesus, right? And Paul did what Jesus said. So if Paul, the most gangster apostle, the man that used to persecute Christians, had a face-to-face encounter with Jesus that was so transformational, so scary, so life-changing, that now he became who he is. If this man is telling you that he needs people to pray for him so he can speak boldly, that he needs people to pray for him so he can have the words that God needs him to have, how much more so do we need it? How much more so does Brian English need it? Because Brian English is not the most gangster Christian you ever met. Absolutely not. Like, and if you want to compare me and Paul, we're not even playing the same game, right? I don't even know what he's doing. I'm down here like playing with sticks and he's like doing like pro football or something. And I don't even think that's an apt description. The comparison's not even there. But yet, this man's saying that he needs prayer and supplication from the saints, right? So if he needs it, I need it, all of you need it. Every one of us, Wayne, Jake, Bob, it don't matter where you're at or who you're speaking to, right? If we're going to try to deliver a message from the Lord, we need that prayer and supplication from the audience, from the saints. And again, it's a Christianity's not a one-man show. It is a one-man show, the Jesus show. But as far as down here on earthly status, we are a body. Right? And it doesn't matter where you're at in that body. Everyone needs prayers. This is a group thing, right? So it's very, very important that we pray for those. And no, is it always just a sermon? No. No. Maybe you're going to share a message. Maybe you're going to sing somewhere you've never sung before, right? Or maybe you're going to talk to that family member who's not a Christian or that you have that bad blood with. And us as saints, we need to see that. We need to be aware. We need to be alert. We need to be looking. And we need to give some prayer. We need to build them up, right? You know, maybe you have a Christian boss and he gets a little stressed out and doesn't always talk to you the right way, right? Well, maybe, I know Heather's somewhere looking around. But maybe what we need to do there is a little bit of supplication to lift that person up because they need the words of Lord. Because let's not pull no punches, right? Where does good things come from? They come from God, right? And all of us, especially me, if it's up to how Brian English talks and communicates and acts, it's rough. It's short. It's curt. It ain't always the right thing. But when it's Jesus working through me, when I got that spirit in me, things get way better. Right? You know, so we got to be in prayer. But again, we have to be watchful. And if Paul needs it, we all need it. We all need it so much more, right? I can't get over how important of a concept this is. We need to take it very seriously that when we come to church or when we go to a Bible study or we go to a small group, that we're there for a reason. And that reason is to hear what God has to say to us. And in that knowledge, we have a responsibility to pray for that leader, whoever it may be. And again, it doesn't matter who God has put in front of us to speak that day. It doesn't matter how you feel about me or what you think about me as a person or whoever's up here. That's unimportant, because if we come prayed up and we come walking in the spirit and we come supplicating and we all ask and we're in a team together as a body and we lift that person up, God can use anybody. And in the end, it doesn't matter what's here. It only matters what's coming out. And if that's from the Lord, it's a win, right? You know? And another thing is that it's easy to take coming to church for granted. I want to reiterate that. But if last year taught us anything, is that we don't know if we're coming back tomorrow. Like, we don't know if we're coming back to church. We don't know if we're going to ever have another small group. We don't know if we're ever going to have another sermon. We don't know if we're ever going to have another Sunday school. It's a gift that we're not promised. We know we have it today. But if I knew that this may be the last sermon that I ever came and listened to, I would probably be a little more fired up that God, speak to me today, Lord, because I don't know when I'm coming back. And we need to look at every Sunday like that. Every time we're here, every time we're somewhere in a position to be taught, we need to be asking the Lord like it's our last. Because we're not promised tomorrow. It could be our last. We don't know. And if nothing else to be learned from last year is that we're not promised. This is a gift. Thank you, Jesus. Next slide. And with that, let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, again, you are an awesome, awesome God. And Lord, your word says we're not promised today, but we are here today. And Lord, I just want to be thankful for it. I'd ask that you just impress upon each and every one of us the gift that your son gave us, but the gift and the privilege it is to have a place like Maywood to come worship you, to have a body like we do that sticks together through a pandemic, through dissension, through conflict, but we're all still here, Lord. And I'd ask that you just impress upon us and let us realize what an honor and a gift it is to to belong to you and to be able to call ourselves your children. And Lord, I'd also ask that when we come into situations and when it's time for us to pray and when we need to supplicate, that you take all the confusion out of it, you make it obvious, and your spirit just moves us mightily and powerfully and gives us the words to say, not only to lift that person up, but the words to say to ask what each and every one of us needs to hear, Lord, because we all need to hear something, Lord. I'd ask that you speak to us and you just cut to the marrow and you just break our hardened heart and shine your light on our families. In Jesus' name pray. Amen.